Welcome to the Tortoise Quick Take Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Today, senior members of Tortoise will provide a timely update on trending topics in the market.
Hello, I'm Ryan Holloman, Vice President at Tortoise. Thank you for joining us for this special Quick Take Podcast. I'm joined today by Tortoise Portfolio Manager Brian Kessens and Institutional Portfolio Manager Greg Murphy. We're going to discuss short-term trends and our long-term energy outlook. Some of you may be wondering if this is a timely entry point for an energy investment. We'll cover our thoughts on that too. With that, let's begin. Brian, pipeline returns are now roughly flat through the year-to-date period after starting the year higher. What do you think happened?
Yeah, after starting the first 6 weeks of the year higher by 3.7%, the Tortoise North American Pipeline Index, or TNAP, has fallen about 1% since. While not in perfect lockstep, the sell-off coincided with a downturn in the price of crude oil, which currently is the key driver of energy market sentiment. Energy investors continue to see inventories build in the U.S. despite OPEC's reduction in crude oil supplies. Furthermore, Saudi Arabia's rhetoric is unclear about whether the OPEC cuts to the first half of the year are likely to be extended to the second half. We think the rhetoric is about maximizing OPEC member compliance and expect the cuts to be extended. The previous OPEC strategy to maintain market share lasted 2 years. We do not think there's a willingness to give up on this one after just 6 months. The more recent macro oil news overshadowed what we think was a good earnings season for pipeline companies to start the year. In our view, guidance for 2017 was constructive, and new project announcements were healthy on the heels of the producer community outlining growth plans for the year.
Greg, staying with those thoughts, do you think oil prices should drive the stock prices of pipeline companies?
We get this question or some version of it a lot. The first thing I'd say is that the question seems to presuppose that pipelines are somehow homogenous and that they all have some sort of exposure to crude oil. The fact is that currently the Tortoise North American Pipeline Index, the TNAP, has exposure to a variety of different kinds of pipelines. Natural gas, long-haul pipelines, and local gas distribution pipelines actually represent about 58% of the constituents of that index. Gathering and processing companies, those are the smaller pipelines that run out through to the wellheads and throughout the production field, and generally generate the bulk of their revenues and cash flows from processing natural gas, represents 16% of the TNAP. The bulk of the remaining 25% or so of the index is made up of crude oil pipelines, so arguably 75% of the index is more geared toward natural gas markets, yet it's been years since I've been asked questions about correlations to natural gas prices. Of that 25% of the index that are crude oil pipelines, those companies earn revenues based on throughput, that would be the volumes moving through the pipeline, not the price of the commodity. Over the intermediate and long term, the price of the commodity can have derivative effects on volumes, but the current narrative driving down oil prices is that the U.S. will be growing production too fast, which is actually bullish in the near term for pipelines and the midstream more generally. I guess that's sort of a roundabout way of answering the question, but I think from a fundamental perspective, daily movements up or down in oil prices should not be driving pipeline returns.
Thanks, Greg. Brian, your team is focused on the long term, yet energy headlines, whether related to rhetoric out of OPEC or current inventory, dominate the headlines and daily stock price movement, even for pipeline companies, as Greg just discussed. What do you think we should look for over the shorter term?
Well, seasonally, it is spring, which is a period when refinery maintenance peaks. And basically, refineries reconfigure their operations to change over from producing a winter grade of gasoline that includes more butane to producing a summer grade. During this period, crude oil inventories increase as refineries just use less. Recently, the market's been trying to discern whether rising inventories are due to too high of supply globally or simply lower refinery utilization. As we look into April, we expect refineries to come out of maintenance and to increase their demand for crude oil in the second half of the month. Inventories should then start to fall. And looking forward to May, OPEC is set to meet on the 25th. We expect a lot of commentary between now and then from OPEC ministers threatening to end the production agreement, yet ultimately we expect the cut to be extended to the second half of the year because global inventories are not yet at historical levels, which is one of the aims of the cut. These items are likely to drive energy sentiment. For pipelines, we believe you should look for new project announcements, another good earnings season that starts in mid-April, and the capital markets. We expect at least one MLP IPO to price in the second quarter.
Greg, do you think the Trump administration will be good for oil and gas companies?
Putting aside politics and many of the common narratives, by almost any measure, the 8 years of the Obama administration were a great time for the oil and gas industries. Think about this. In 2008, the year Obama was elected but hadn't yet taken office, domestic production of natural gas was about 55 billion cubic feet per day, and domestic crude oil production was about 5 million barrels per day. In 2016, obviously Obama's last year in office, domestic gas production was up to 72 billion cubic feet per day. That's up 30% over the course of his administration, while oil production was at 8.9 million barrels per day, up almost 80%. So it's really just an amazing success story for the industry. So the question about will the Trump administration be good for oil and gas companies, I think it definitely will. As long as the regulatory environment doesn't get any worse than what we saw under Obama, I think the oil and gas industry should continue to prosper. If the Trump administration can make some moves to intelligently lessen the regulatory burdens, I think that would just be gravy for the industry.
Brian, in your view, how big a part of the energy story is natural gas, and are the dynamics for gas similar to oil?
We believe that natural gas is a huge part of the energy story. As Greg mentioned, in one shape or another, natural gas is 75% of the Tortoise North American Pipeline Index. Different from oil, which is global, natural gas is largely a domestic market. The U.S. has had more natural gas than needed for the past couple of years, and 2016 in particular was notably poor from a demand perspective due to the warm winter of 2015-16. Consequently, there's been little production growth over the past 2 years. That's now changing as new sources of demand emerge. Last year, the U.S. exported natural gas in the form of LNG for the first time. And with two LNG facilities coming online last year, three more are expected this year. We also anticipate more exports to Mexico, coal to natural gas switching to continue in the power generation sector, and more industrial activity to drive demand for gas. By the end of the decade, we believe demand is likely to be about 15 BCF per day, or approximately 20% higher from current levels. This will require not only more production, but more pipeline takeaway capacity from areas like the Marcellus in the Northeast, and even the Permian Basin in West Texas.
Greg, if we stay focused on the long term, what do you believe is the opportunity for energy pipelines beyond the next year?
Yeah, we spoke a few minutes ago about the phenomenal successes of the industry, growing production of oil and gas over the last 8 years. And I don't see that general trend in production growth ending anytime soon. Admittedly, I'm not calling for another 30% and 80% growth in the next 8 years, but neither is domestic production peaking at our current levels. The infrastructure build that accompanied that rapid rise in production is still ongoing. We're effectively upgrading and replumbing many areas of the country to bring hydrocarbons from where we're finding them to where they need to go to be utilized. As production continues to grow, we continue to need to build and improve the pipes and the tanks that move and store this production. Back in January, the U.S. Energy Information Administration, the EIA, published their annual energy outlook for 2017. In reviewing that document, one of my key takeaways was that in the reference case, which is generally like their base case scenario, the U.S. moves from being a net importer of energy to a net exporter of energy by 2026. We've been a net importer of energy since 1953. And every president since at least Nixon has talked about, quote unquote, energy independence. And now it seems to exist, if only just over the horizon. To bring that energy independence to reality, we're going to need more infrastructure. Certainly more LNG export infrastructure, more refined product export infrastructure, and more pipes and tanks to bring the hydrocarbons from the wellhead to the exporter or the consumer. We're often asked if the pipeline system is overbuilt. And based on everything I'm saying here, I'd say the answer is resounding no. We see these strong drivers for increasing utilization and continued infrastructure investment for many years to come.
Brian, the Fed continues to raise interest rates. How do you think MLPs and pipeline companies will perform in light of higher rates?
We looked at what history tells us, and there are 13 periods since 2000 when the 10-year Treasury increased by 50 basis points or more. In those periods, bond returns averaged a negative 1.4%. No surprise there. The S&P 500 is higher by an average of 6.5%, and the performance of pipelines, as measured by the Tortoise North American Pipeline Index, is similar, higher by an average of 5.6%. And we think there's a few reasons for this. One, pipeline company dividend and distribution growth allows the stocks to grow through higher rates. Two, generally, higher interest rates are associated with better economic growth, which means energy demand and the volume moving through pipelines is higher in better economic periods. And then three, higher interest rates also imply higher inflation, and many pipeline companies have an ability to pass along inflation in the form of higher tariffs pegged to the rate of inflation. So to the extent the Fed increases rates by two or three more times this year, we think that implies the economy is growing and expect pipeline companies to perform well in that scenario.
Brian, what is your outlook for pipeline companies the rest of this year?
We expect total returns of low double digits for pipelines in 2017, with a mix of both current income, where MLPs now yield about 7%, and growth of 5-7%. New project announcements have started after slowing in 2016, and we expect that trend to continue, especially in the Permian Basin related to gathering and processing, crude oil, and even new natural gas pipelines. We're also seeing more activity in Oklahoma and the Haynesville Shale, and certainly the export infrastructure bill continues as well. We also expect more M&A activity this year as the bid-ask between buyers and sellers narrows. In front of that, potential buyers are simplifying their organizations through IDR buybacks to lower their overall cost of capital to be better positioned to make accretive acquisitions. We believe that companies are also taking the view that having a C-Corp and an MLP security is not a bad thing as it provides two options to raise capital.
Greg, the last question goes to you. A lot of potential energy investors missed the outsized returns last year. In your view, is the recent pullback a good buying opportunity?
Look, if a potential investor is waiting for an entry point that has valuations looking like they did in February of 2016, I hope they have to wait a very, very long time. Or honestly, I hope midstream valuations never go back there again. But really, that's a good thing. With the markets as disrupted as they were in early 2016, there was just a lot of fear, if not outright panic, in the energy market. Warren Buffett famously wrote in an op-ed piece in the New York Times in October of 2008 that, among other things, to be greedy when others are fearful. As you alluded to in your question, investors who bought, or at least did not succumb to the fears in the market in early 2016, have done very, very well. We've covered a lot of ground on the conversation today. We've said that near-term and longer-term fundamentals for the industry appear very strong. We've discussed that daily volatility in oil prices seem to be driving all pipeline stock returns, even if we believe there's no fundamental reason for them to be doing so. I guess what we haven't talked about is current valuations. And while the valuations are not where they were in early 2016, to me, they're still very attractive compared to historical averages, really on almost any measure. I'd call myself thrifty. Others might call me kind of a cheapskate. But if I can, I like to buy things when they're on sale. To me, it feels like pipeline stocks are on sale. Could they go lower? Sure. But over the next 6, 12, or 24 months, if the trends that we've talked about today play out, I think we'll look back and see that this was an attractive entry point in the market.
Thank you, Brian and Greg. That concludes our discussion today. We hope this has been helpful. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for our next cast. Have topics you want covered or other feedback to share? Write us at info@tortoiseadvisors.com. Nothing contained in this communication constitutes tax, legal, or investment advice. Investors must consult their tax advisor or legal counsel for advice and information concerning their particular situation. This podcast contains certain statements that may include forward-looking statements. All statements other than statements of historical fact included herein are forward-looking statements. Although Tortoise Capital Advisors believes that the expectations reflected in these forward-looking statements are reasonable, they do involve assumptions, risks, and uncertainties, and these expectations may prove to be incorrect. Actual events could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements as a result of a variety of factors. You should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. This podcast reflects our views and opinions as of the date herein, which are subject to change at any time based on market and other conditions. We disclaim any responsibility to update these views. These views should not be relied on as investment advice or an indication of trading intent.